Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock! Listen, listen, this is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen!
Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza.
You know what I'm saying? My homie J Cat and the homie Eric.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
Radio. I'm your host, J. Cat Morris, and as always with me is my co-host, Eric Williams. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, J. Cat. Just another, fun, exciting show. I got to see you this past weekend down in Philadelphia. We'll be sure to talk about that a little later, but it was good, seeing you again.
Yep. Great weekend of wrestling. Before we get into any of that, definitely have to, quickly give a rest in peace to another great wrestler lost this week in Sweet and Sour Larry Sweeney. And, I've seen a good amount of his work, through CZW and some Chikara stuff, Ring of Honor. And he was a super, super talented wrestler. Eric, as a very, very big Chikara fan, has seen a lot more than I have. However, I know enough about the guy to know that we lost another great, great talent. So, what we're going to do next week is we're going to run a tribute show, and we have a bunch of people signed on for it already. We're going to keep getting more and more guests, and next week we're going to do our best to tribute that guy.
2 hours,
Yep.
Should be a big tribute show.
Yes, it should. We'll do everything we can, to try to, put his name up there and give him a good tribute. So, besides that, there was a great two shows that I attended on Saturday, as well as Eric. Like to get into those. Before I do, I just want to point out something that was brought to my attention by
Wait a minute. Before we go anywhere, how's your day going so far? How's your day going so far? You doing all right?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
What's up?
No. Just making sure. So these people don't just say, just so people out there aren't thinking, oh, Jake had a bad day today, and
I think what you think I am just yet, because I do want to talk about the wrestling and
Well, no, because some people like to come out up to you at shows and like to, say some stuff. By the way, shout out to Juan in the chat room.
Okay, yeah. What I was going to say is, a friend in the wrestling business, a guy who does work for CZW, and, he's a good guy. I like him quite a bit. He's listened to our show in the past, and hopefully he's listening tonight. And that's Fredo. He came up and he, said, I never really got the chance to, completely introduce myself. Now, of course, I knew who he was. He probably knew who I was. But, he said, hey, how you doing? Shook my hand and everything like that. So, hey, what's up, bro? goes, so, you know, how'd you like the show? I said, oh, it was great. He's like, oh, good, because, you know, you're the guy who normally shits on all the wrestlers. And my jaw just dropped. I'm like, come on, man, are you serious? That's my role. That's how everybody sees me, is I'm the guy that shits on the wrestlers. Come on, man. I've loyally attended for 10 straight years. I'm not this fucking, you know, the reason why the CZW fans message board hates me is because I defend the product. So it's crazy. That's the, you know, form of the haters, you know what I mean? And they got their beefs for whatever no reason. You know, I criticize stuff that I may not agree with, but I give you reason, and I'm not the guy who shits on the wrestlers. That's fucking insane to label me like that. But, you know, big shout out to Fredo. Anyway. the first show that went on that day was the WXW show. And, I thought what a phenomenal show they put on. That's a very, very hard day to put on another great show when you have best of the best ahead of you. And, they did their thing. The show started out, when I walked in, the match was already started, and I think it had started, or like it was pretty much
entering. Did you have a nice seating arrangements for the first match?
Well, I bought general admission. Apparently, that meant they set up like three rows of chairs. There was the bleachers that hold, I don't know, fucking 30 people tops, and then nothing. I'm like, dude, I know there's more chairs.
I'm sorry I'm laughing, but, you know, that's happened to me a million times in the past.
So we walked around, we talked to Shawnee and a few people, and they ended up getting us a few chairs. So we stood for most of that first opening match. But the opening match was Emil Satosi beating Brandon Gatson, Johnny Gargano, and Chuck Taylor in a four-way. And, you just seen a lot of high spots, a lot of quick-moving, you know, action. From what I saw from my standing position, it was a very good match. I thought it was a great opener to start off the show with. You were looking at, you know, three guys that were in Best of the Best later that night, as well as Emil Satosi, who's also very talented. So that was a great way to start out the show, in my opinion.
The only thing I didn't like about that match, and this is from my, you know, point of view, is I thought the match ended kind of abruptly, like really, like it was like one of those like really tight moments, like.
Yeah, well, it was just an opener, so I don't think they had too much, you know, planned for it.
Yeah, but you gotta like really set the stage with that opener. You know what I mean?
I guess. I thought it was good. See, Eric's the guy who shits on the wrestlers.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You got me all wrong. Next match they had up is Sammy Callahan defeating Bad Bones, who I had never seen Bad Bones live. And
he is bad. He is bad.
I thought it was a good match. You know, Bad Bones is a pretty hard-hitting dude. And, you know, Sammy being the hardest-hitting man in the United States as he sends himself, you know, of course, came out on top. And I think that was a pretty good match. So, what do you think about that match?
It was decent. I thought Sammy carried the match. Bad Bones is bad. And we're not going to question that because Bad Bones sucks. The only reason he worked in the arena was because he was part of WXW. There's no way he would ever work for any other company in the United States and actually do decent. He is terrible, and he's boring as hell. He fucking elbow, all crazy fucking, you know, backdrop jiver spot. He is fucking boring. He's as boring as looking at a fucking sign for fucking 3 hours. Jesus Christ, Bad Bones.
All right.
Anyway.
So then we had more or less a Power Man matchup of Johnny Moss and Michael Elgin defeating Big Van Walter and Brody Lee.
Let me say something right off the bat.
Yeah.
And let me tell you that first 8 minutes or 9 minutes of the match was absolutely horrendous.
All right. Well, I thought it turned into a pretty good match. I thought, you know, definitely the highlight of the match for me was Michael Elgin putting Big Van Walter and Brody Lee on his shoulders at the same fucking time. Like, holding these fucking guys on his shoulders, man. That shit is not normal. This guy's got fucking steel fucking girders for legs. Anybody else's legs would fucking buckle. That dude on a Dancing with the Stars show couldn't hold up fucking Kirstie Alley, and this dude held up fucking Brody Lee and Big Van Walter. That's pretty goddamn impressive, if you ask me.
Damn.
So,
I marked out for that. There's a reason why Michael Elgin is in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I think he signed a contract recently.
Yep. But he's decent. But the match just, it looked like there was no flow to the match in the beginning. I thought the match was, I was fucking like, oh my God, I can't wait for this match to be over with. And then it picked up. So it was all right.
Yeah. Then you had Carsten Beck, who I really don't like, versus the Necro Butcher. And Carsten Beck went over in that match with heel tactics and all. But, you know, Necro started out the match headbutting him in the face and, you know, went from there. The whole Necro brawling spots, the chair spot, you know, all of it. You know, the normal Necro brawling stuff. I just don't like this Beck guy. He doesn't entertain me at all. So,
he's boring.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got that, like, douchey heel gimmick, and it just doesn't get over with me. But that's just me. I'm the guy who shits on wrestlers. Next match, you had Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly teaming up and beating the leaders of the New School in Zack Sabre Jr. and Marty Scurll. I thought this was a really good match. It was a lot of back-and-forth spots, a lot of near falls, pretty fast-paced. Definitely got pretty fast-paced at points. And, it was also, like, quite another, you know, minus Marty Scurll was another three guys that were in Best of the Best that night. So you had a very good warm-up of seeing what these guys were going to do.
I thought that match was, at that moment, the best match so far. At that moment in the card.
Yeah.
After the match was over, I was like, damn, this match is pretty good. I mean, it was back and forth matches. Adam Cole with, you know, Kyle O'Reilly, you know, doing good shit. Zack Sabre Jr. proving that he belongs in the United States. You know,
oh, yeah. He's very, very good.
He's a beast.
Yeah. Well, speaking of beasts, the next match was Daisuke Sakimoto over Chris Hero. And this was actually my first opportunity to see Hero in his that Knockout Kid gimmick. I knew he was doing it, and I seen a few matches, Ring of Honor and whatnot. I hadn't seen it live, so I hadn't really, you know, known that he really added so much more striking to his arsenal. And really crisp, fucking hard-hitting shit to me. And I was very happy with this match. I thought it was really good. There was a couple of fat nerd broads that were within 30 seconds of the match starting. These dumb bitches stood up, said, "This is boring, let's go." And they walked outside for maybe 5 minutes. And then they came back in and sat down and just said dumb things throughout the match. Like, "This is boring. Hurry up and finish the match." And dumb shit like that. And you really, really, as a wrestling fan, have a hard time stomaching this type of thing. Because, unfortunately for me, they were, you know, only 20 feet away from where I was sitting. So I had to hear them. I mean, anywhere further than that, you wouldn't have heard them because there was no chance. There was no nobody supporting them or backing their fucking stupid opinions. It was, you know, just two fat broads that were thinking about the Tony Luke's sandwich that they were going to go eat after the show. And they really didn't have the patience to watch wrestling at that point. But Sakimoto and Chris Hero, man, they fucking tore it up. Definitely kick the shit out of each other. You know, like I said, the hard-hitting spots out of Hiro, you know, the hard-hitting offense out of him, and, of course, Sakimoto being the animal that he is, hit back just as hard and harder and, you know, came out on top. But this was one of those matches that ended in mutual respect. And I don't see where somebody found that to be unacceptable. So, of course, that wasn't the majority of the crowd. But
that match was awesome. That match was...
I definitely thought it was.
I'd
honestly like to see more of Hiro now that I've seen this hard-hitting offense. Because I've seen, you know, various forms of Hiro, and some of which I don't like at all. I'd rather go home than fucking watch some heel Hiro matches. Because he'll make sure that 90% of that match is rest holds. And I don't really give a fuck, you know, how talented he is. I don't want to see anybody do that many fucking submissions or rest holds or
it's not CZW or Philly. It's not Philly wrestling. I think he changed up big time. And
yeah, he did. And you know, I understand, you know, as a heel he's gonna get over with that. Yeah, less is more and all of that nonsense, and you know, he's not gonna kill himself doing those type of matches. However, I'm not interested in all, and I do know how talented the guy is. So that's the type of shit that gets on my nerves, you know, when you see the possibilities of what he can do, and then you don't get that, you know. So, yeah, I'd like to see more of this hard-hitting Chris Hiro. Definitely, you know, back in CZW, for that matter. I've seen him, you know, hanging out with fucking Gabe at a, you know, at a table over there, promoting Dragon Gate and Evolve and all that shit, and, yeah, not on the card. January. That horrible January show. He was over there with nothing to do that day. Well, bring in some that knockout kid Chris Hiro. You know, and let's put him in, you know, just line him up in a dream match. You ain't gotta put him in a storyline or you bring him in every month, but yeah. Line up a dream match and put him in there. You know,
yeah.
A Sammy Callahan or, you know, there's a
anybody.
Lot of things you could do. So
he can wrestle all the locker room. He'll have good matches with all the locker room.
Sure. And then, of course, the main event, we had the No Rope Barbed Wire match with Jun Kasai beating Drake Younger. And I say it once now, and I'm going to have to say it again in a little while, and that is that Jun Kasai, in my opinion, is the best deathmatch wrestler to ever walk the earth. And some people might disagree. Some people might have other opinions. But there's a good chance that whoever you might think is better might agree with me. That's how good Jun Kasai is. That your favorite deathmatch wrestler will probably tell you that one of their favorite deathmatch wrestlers is Jun Kasai. Because, I mean, this guy is just infinitely talented. You look at this guy's body, there isn't a fucking... a millimeter between scratches, between scars, between the cuts and just damage this guy has done to his body over the years. It's like a horror movie when you look at this guy and what he's been through. Like, it's crazy, and he hasn't let up one bit. He still puts it all out there. He still takes all the fucking bumps. He does everything. Just so entertaining. He has such charisma. He has such a... ability to be the crazy monkey as he, you know, he's been built. And I was just thrilled to get the chance to see him again in the United States for the first time in 10 years through my eyes, because I saw him in Sewell diving off the wall, and I didn't get the chance to go to Delaware and see him in Uneffing Believable, but of course I've watched the DVD 100 times. But yeah, this was 10 years in the making, seeing him back in the United States. And I know everybody wants him in TOD, and I will co-sign that very same request, because I would love to see him in TOD.
Yeah.
I'd love to see him win TOD. So, not really sure if that's going to happen. Nothing like that of the sort has been announced at all. But it's no secret to anybody, you know, to DJ or anybody else, that's what the people want. And, just not sure what the possibilities of that is. I know a lot of these flights are expensive. They are flying into other guys, you know, in Takeda and J. Jun Kasai's former tag partner in Jackie Numazawa. And I think, you know, those guys are going to put on a great fucking show, too. But either way, there is no topping Jun Kasai. So,
yeah.
I'm pretty excited for TOD either way. And, yeah, like I said, I was very, very happy to get the chance to see him again. So, that was the WXW show. Well, what I got to say next...
Well, do you want me to review the show, the main event, or no?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
You go ahead, tell me.
I'll let you hold that thought in there for a second more. And I thought the main event was awesome. A lot of good shit in the main event, like you said, a lot of good shit. And it was a good end to the WXW show, and it made fans come back to see what CZW would do. So, So go ahead, say what you got
to say. Yeah, another thing I loved in that match was, the fact that Drake went up to the top of a very, very high ladder, pointed up to the sky, gave a shout out to JC Bailey, and threw down the double stomp off that ladder on Jun Kasai. I thought that was a very, very special moment. I know it meant a lot to Drake, and I'm sure JC's smiling up there. So that was a great tribute, Drake, and it was a great show in my opinion, and a great way to top off the show. Now, what I got to say next before I get into the CZW thing, I'm pretty much going to give my story. Then we'll probably take a break so I can collect my thoughts, and then we'll get into the CZW show after the break. So, all right. For starters, let me preface this with a little bit of information before I, call people assholes and say what pieces of shit they are and the fact that I hope they die. But for the first 3 months of this year, at the CZW Arena that I attended shows, the taps behind the concession stand were out. All 3 months, I walked up there and said, "Let me get a beer." They said, "We ain't got it. Sorry, taps are out. Sorry, taps are out." No problem. I bring my own shit every month. More times than not, though, I might bring a beer or two in, and then I'll go buy off concession stand, and then in intermission, I'll drink a few more out there, and that type of thing. I'll bring a few beers in with me, but I'll also buy from the concession stand. Now, of course, when January comes and goes and there's no beer at the concession stand, well, I'm going to bring beer in with me in February to know that I can drink. Well, February comes and goes, still no beer at the concession stand. So, of course, March, I'm going to do the same thing. All right, so boom. April comes. I brought beer in. I drank for the first show. I had, maybe four beers over the WXW show. No problem. Nobody said nothing to me. When I went into the building, this kid, for the WXW show, this kid, he's obviously working for Roger. Roger's beverage security or whatever. I didn't know what he was searching for, but he asked to search in my bag, which was my camera bag, And I informed him that, because he's like, "Oh, I didn't realize it was a camera bag." And I said, "Well, it's either a camera bag or, and I said, or I'm some kind of fag because, I can't see walking around with some kind of purse or something, otherwise, So, yeah, it's a camera bag, dog." And he's like, "Oh, yeah, that's cool, man. I wish I brought my camera." He tried to be, like, real cool and down and shit, right? Meanwhile, I had a couple beers in my pocket, but I wasn't trying to be sneaky. If he would have, approached me and said, "Hey, man, do you got any, outside food or drink and shit?" I'm not a sneaky type motherfucker. I would have been like, "Yeah, man." He'd be like, "Nah, you can't have that." I would have said, "All right, let me run back to the car." I would have thrown him in the car. That would have been that. But he didn't even go there. So I drank my beer in there for the first show. No problem. Nobody saying nothing. Intermission out, come back in with more beer. No problem. Nobody saying shit, right? All right, boom. in between the show, you know, ran over to Four Mills for a little bit. The girl went shopping, whatever the fuck. Drank a few beers out in the car. I go back into Best of the Best. Now I got one beer in my hoodie pocket in the front, and I got my soda in my back pocket. And one of my front pockets, I got my camera lens, which, you know, a camera lens is, I guess, the shape of a beer can. Okay, so that's cool. Now, all of a sudden, this dude, I don't know what the fuck happened in between these shows, but this dude just turned into Billy Badass, right? So I started to walk up, and there's no polite, there's no nothing. This motherfucker goes, "Yo, you're going to have to throw that out for me, dude." And I turned to him, like, "What?" He's like, "The soda in your back pocket." So I kind of laughed, and I was like, "Huh, all right, that was a little much." But and I didn't say nothing fucked up. I was just like, "Huh, all right, dude." So I pulled it out of my back pocket, I opened it, and I downed it and shit, because there was only like half of the soda left. So I threw it in the garbage can, because it was empty. So I take like a step forward, one more step forward, because I'm one step closer now to the ticket thing. Then he goes, "Yo, and that beer in your front pocket too." And I said, "Come on, man." And he's like, come on, nothing, yo, the beer in your front pocket. So I pull it out, and I'm like, and now he's got, like, another one of Roger's little beverage security cocksuckers behind him that's probably in his 40s or 50s or whatever. And now he's stepping up, like, he's back up and shit. So I look at this dude, and I'm like, you want it, dog? You know what I mean? You know? So, again, I'm not irate because even though I'm kind of annoyed that dude is, like, eyeing my fucking pockets like this, and this is only a tiny bit of time after the first show where I didn't get none of this hassle. So I'm like, "Do you want it?" I was going to give it to the people who were fucking telling me I have to throw it out. And he's like, "No, throw that shit out." So, again, like, I'm not liking the way this fucking dude is talking to me. So I'm like, "Well, I ain't going to throw it out, dude. I'll be back." I walked right around the corner and just sat that shit up against the wall, because I'd rather, like, a bum drinking this shit than just throw my shit in the garbage, you know what I mean? I don't give a fuck. Like, obviously, I'm getting rid of it, but I'd rather a fucking bum drink it or whatever the fuck, you know what I mean? So I did that. Now I walk back up. This dude got the balls to go, "You put that shit in your front pocket." Again, like, with the cursing, with the coming at me like I'm a fucking... like I'm a bitch. And I said, "No, I didn't, man." Cause now I'm getting real annoyed because I know I ain't lying to the dude. I ain't got no beverages on me no more. This is the aforementioned camera lens. And he's like, "Yes, you did. Yo, get it out of your front pocket." So now I turn to him like mad, and I pull the camera lens out of my pocket, pull it out, and I show it to him. And I said, "See, man?" And I got kind of loud with him. But that's all I said was like, "See what, you know what I mean? See what I got?" Now, you know, Billy Badass number two, the elder badass, steps up from behind him and he goes, "You don't need to give us an attitude. If you want to give us a problem, you can get out of here." I just shake my head and I'm like, "All right, shit, all right, man." So now the two of these, they all roughed up. They badass, you know what I mean? So now I go into the show and me having, you know, whatever my personality defect or, you know, whatever the case is, that fucked up my whole first half of Best of the Best. I kind of watched the matches and whatnot, but honestly, the first half of the show, I didn't give a fuck, man. I took minimal fucking pictures. I just fucking sat there thinking about how badly I wanted to cave this kid's fucking head in. And honestly, you know, I have the amount of restraint that I needed not to do anything like that because it wasn't necessary. And, you know, I got kids. I ain't trying to get locked up in fucking South Philly. I also came there for Best of the Best. Not to fucking pick a fight with some fucking douchebag at the fucking door over a beer. And it wasn't the matter of a beer. It was the matter of a dude talking to me like I'm a piece of shit. So, you know, Roger sends these fucking people out there. You know, and it took a minute for it to register in my head because at first I'm like, "Yo, what the fuck with CZW, man? All of a sudden I'm getting disrespected in this bitch after 10 years. But then it dawned on me and I'm like, "You know what? It's not their fault. This is Roger's fucking people. This is his beverage security to make sure he don't lose no concessions. So I can't blame CZW for that. I'm not going to hate CZW. I ain't gonna, none of that dumb shit. However, like, I really think Roger's a fucking bitch, and it pisses me off to no end that he would allow these people to just show blatant disregard for people's feelings and just disrespect people because you don't give a fuck who you are, where you came from, how often you show up, what company you're fucking supporting. He don't give a fuck about none of that. He gives a fuck about his, you know, his concessions. Like months ago, last year, when he decided it would be a great idea because the fucking ice cream truck out front was raping his concessions, so it would be a great idea to lock all of the fucking grown-ass men and women inside the building and not even give them intermission. With the people piled up at the door, with it hot as hell inside, and not fucking give them intermission because then they would buy your little bitch-ass food. You know, that's the type of business shit that makes motherfuckers not come back to the building. And it doesn't hurt Roger because he's getting his rent either way, but it hurts the fucking company. And for reasons like that, you know, I've always been very, very big on liking the arena. And it's not because it had that special feel anymore or anything like that, where, oh, this is the building to be at and stuff like that. But, you know, there is the history. There is a good feel to the area. You know, it's familiar to me because I've been going for 9 years. I never went to an ECW show in that arena, but for 9 years I've been fucking attending CZW in that building. Since they left Sewell, I did my first year of CZW in Sewell. Ever since they left Sewell, I've been going to fucking the arena. You know what I mean? So it's a familiar place to me. It's a good place to be for me. When this guy goes out of his way to fuck people over for a couple bucks at concession stands, you got to keep in mind one thing, too. I'm going to try my ass off not to purchase your shit from your concession because now you're purposely treating me like a piece of shit, you know? And it's not right. It's really not right. So, you know, I want to make sure everybody, you know, before you go into that fucking building, make sure you ate. Make sure you already ate. Eat like a nice full meal before you get in there. Maybe get a little bent up in the parking lot so you ain't got nothing to, you ain't got to worry about drinking too much in there. Get yourself real hydrated. Maybe bring some gum in with you, you know, some mints or something. Don't buy fucking minimal from this scumbag because he don't give a fuck whether you're there or not. He don't give a fuck what happens to you. He's just all about run your shit, fucking we'll just treat you like garbage because I want my concession sales. You know what I mean? So fuck that guy for real. You know what I mean? Like, I almost stopped going. Like, I pretty much was making a decision, told people, like, yo, I'm done. I'm not fucking not coming back. And then that's when it dawned on me that, you know what, it's not CZW's fault. It's fucking Roger's fault. That fucking scumbag, that this is him. This is all him. So fuck him. But, yeah, so that's what it is. I am going to review the CZW show, but I had to get that off my chest because it honestly, it fucked up my experience for the first half of the show. And part of it is, like I said, I got that part of my personality that just doesn't like to let shit go. So the shit is just working overtime in my motherfucking head because I'm mad and I'm trying to restrain myself. And I can't even just put it off and enjoy myself. It just puts me in a real fucked up place. And if I acted on what the fuck I wanted to, I wouldn't have went home that night. And I don't think the kid at the door would have went home that night either, honestly. So, yeah, but we would have went to two different buildings, but I don't think, you know, either of us would have had the same fucking end of the night that we expected. So, luckily I have restraint, and I just said, you know what, fuck it. You know what I mean? Of course, you know, it enraged me, but I just left it. I just left it where, you know, I wasn't going to do it. So, yeah, that's off my chest. So now I figure we'll take a break. Let's hear our boy Sigas give his rant about Starbucks coffee and shit. And then we'll have a laugh. We'll come back and I'll throw my review down on the CZW Best of the Best 10.
What's up, y'all? I try to go in Starbucks to get me a goddang on coffee. I need something to keep me up all night because I'm downloading 9 gigs of Sasha Grace porn, and I need something to keep my adrenaline up. So I go inside Starbucks. I ask the bitches to let me see the main menu. They hand me the main menu. I can't understand one word they're talking about on the main menu. They saying all kinds of stuff. A mocha, chocolate latte, frappuccino, mocha, toca, foca, mocha, abortion, clinic, needles, white girls, titties. I don't know what the hell they're talking about. You could better understand four Mexicans break dancing at a bus stop than the damn main menu at Starbucks. I thought this was a place to serve coffee. They're serving everything else they ain't supposed to be selling. They're serving ice cream. They're serving sandwiches. I went inside of there. The damn woman gonna ask me, excuse me, sir, would you like a cookie? No, bitch, I want some coffee. The woman gonna look at me and then she gonna say, oh, what's that? Bitch, you don't know what coffee is and this is Starbucks? You don't know what coffee is? This is a coffee chain. That's like me going to damn McDonald's and saying, hey, man, give me a Big Mac. And the nigga looking back at me and say, what the f*** is a hamburger? I said, hey, excuse me, woman. Coffee is what makes you up all day. Coffee is what you was supposed to be selling. The girl gonna say, oh, yeah, we out of coffee. How the hell are you out of coffee? Then the girl gonna say, okay, I'll give you a 30% discount if you get the latte. I said, fine, I'm gonna get the latte then. I said, what's the total? The bitch gonna look at me and say, the total, $14. What the hell? $14 for a freaking latte? I never spent $14 in my life, unless it was an Asian prostitute giving me a hand job in the porta potty. Why does one latte cost $14? I didn't ask for a latte with a side order of pussy. And I don't even know what the hell a freaking frappuccino mocha latte is any damn way. What the hell is that? Is that like some kind of new interracial porno? That sounds like something Mr. Marcus would say after he came on Lace of the Vols Death. Damn, girl, that show is a lot of frappuccino mocha latte on your breast. And people in the ordering like it's a drug deal or something. I would like a gram of mocha chocolate, and I would like an 8-ball of coffee, please. $35 for a bag of beans? Are you out your damn mind? $35 for some beans? Is it magic beans? If I plant them in the ground, will a giant bean stock grow out my ass? Are they the beans that Magic Johnson used to cure his AIDS? Oh, he's sick. F*** you. Every time I say latte, I feel like I'm getting done in my booty pipe. And why does all the coffee look like a homeless man shit inside of a cup and they put it inside of the freezer for 6 hours? That's why we got homeless people out here today. It's not because their house got burnt down. I noticed because I asked the homeless person. I said, hey, man, how come you're homeless? Your house got burned down? Your kids leave you? Your wife left you? A bad economy? Why are you homeless? He said, man, I ordered some coffee at Starbucks. I still ain't paid it off yet. They got layaway for goddamn coffee in that son of a bitch. Are you out your damn mind? Layaway for coffee? I'm still on my fifth payment. And who hires these staff workers inside of there? I don't know who the hell hired these people, but they need to get fired immediately. Every damn person that works at Starbucks look like an extra for the Twilight movies. A dude tried to talk to me, looked just like Kim Kardashian's ass cheeks with lipstick. Dude had more lipstick than my blow-up doll. I'm tired of it. McDonald's won't let me play with the balls. Subway won't let me have more than 6 ingredients. Taco Bell costs $8 for 6 tacos. Timmy Chan's talking about $60 for some rice. I'm tired of it. Subscribe, bitch. Subscribe. I'm gonna get angry again.
Yeah, there's Siggers again. He always brings my smile back. I love motherfucking Siggers. That's that dude. Yeah, man. So glad to that. I'll be going into CZW in 1 minute. Just got some thing going on. Let me check home. Check some. All right. Yeah. So best of the best. It was a great tournament. I think I don't know what my phone keep beeping for, but all right. More or less. All right.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. My phone was just bugging out a second ago. That's why I was kind of on hold with that. But all right, then. Best of the Best started out in the first round, putting on a match with Zack Sabre Jr., going over Gran Akuma, and Jonathan Gresham in a three-way. So it was a pretty good match. Probably not as good as anything else in that card. Honestly, I would go ahead and call that the worst match on the entire show. Not that really. It was absolutely terrible, but I just don't think that stood out as a great, great match. I mean, Akuma and Jonathan Gresham have had matches together that tore the fucking house down. There was no stopping some of the matches that they had. I mean, believe it was January, and that was like the only good match on the fucking show. So it's kind of like a hard act to follow what they have already done. Zack Sabre Jr. being as good as he was, just kind of like, I don't know if it fit together right. So that was just my opinion, but that was the start of the show. Then you had everything pick up 100%, where you had Adam Cole defeating Kyle O'Reilly and Johnny Gargano in the second three-way, and that match was nonstop fucking action, very fast-paced.
Good match.
Probably more super kicks than half of Shawn Michaels' career.
Yeah, that was one thing I didn't like about this show, like the whole fucking day. Every match had like three fucking super kicks.
Yeah, this one had 18.
Yeah, ridiculous.
It was a great match, man. And, you know, they worked the angle where O'Reilly and Cole at a certain point teamed up to try to take out Gargano. So Gargano was, you know, working uphill and really having to battle both guys. And, like, he did his thing. I know Eric ain't a big fan of Gargano, but I definitely think he fucking showed what he can do in that match. I thought he was really good. So, yeah, Adam Cole went over in that match. And, yeah, like I said, I was a big fan of the match. The next matchup was a lot of fans looked at this as their big favorite because Sami Callihan defeated Jake Crist of the Irish Airborne and AR Fox. A lot of, you know, of course, Fox did his normal, amazing, high-flying stuff. He did tons of spots that really, you know, made him shine and showed what he can do. Sammy is Sammy, so he just rarely ever disappoints me in a match. And yeah, Jake Chris did a great job out there.
He tore it up. He tore the fuck up.
Yeah, man. He did one of these like twisting shooting star fucking things to the floor off the top rope. I don't know how he didn't die. I mean, that shit looked fucking so dangerous. Didn't look like he landed on much but the floor, so I don't know, man. That was crazy shit right there. Next up was Daisuke Sakimoto taking out Brandon Gatson and Chuck Taylor. This was a match from the start that I just kind of knew, and a lot of people knew, that there was no way in hell that anybody was leaving that first-round matchup but Sakimoto. So it was kind of predictable in that aspect. But, yeah, a very, very entertaining match. They worked in a lot of good, you know, back-and-forth stuff, and it really worked as, you know, the thing is, you know, these guys know how to work. I mean, this whole Best of the Best was full of talent from top to bottom. So these guys really know how to make things believable. Even though you had a guy like Sakimoto that I don't care what DJ says, he's not a junior heavyweight. DJ tried to explain to us on the radio when we had him on that, because Sakimoto is short, because I asked him, well, is this an open weight tournament? Because you just added Sakimoto. Well, no, because Sakimoto is short, so he's kind of built like a block, and that makes him qualify for a junior heavyweight tournament. He's not a junior heavyweight. I don't give a fuck where you're at. I don't give a fuck. He's fucking huge, and no one would call him a junior heavyweight anywhere. So I don't give a fuck what you say. But either way, these smaller guys, I mean, they made this shit work. They made that shit credible that you would actually have this guy, you know, challenged and in there and really fighting and really trying to win this match, and not everything is going his way because, you know, just the talent around him, man. Gatson is a huge talent. Chuck Taylor's a huge talent. And, yeah, I think that match did not disappoint. Definitely not. I mean, you could have took a guy like Sakimoto and squashed anybody in that ring in the first round if you wanted to. But, it went down like a really good match to me. So what did you think of the first round?
I thought it was all right. Let me go back. Gatson did good.
Yeah.
What do you think about Gatson?
No, I think he's great. I really do.
Do you think he needs to come back? Do you think he needs to be back in CZW, or is it is it not to that level?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think that everybody who was in Best of the Best that we don't normally get to see in CZW need to come back. I'm a fan of all these guys, and from Gargano, O'Reilly, Zack Sabre Jr., Jake Crist, Sakimoto, of course, Gatson, and Chuck Taylor. I'd like to see them all back on, a semi-regular basis to, as often as you're able to book this type of talent, because they're obviously, definitely can hang, and they're definitely built for what the fuck this is. And, I was very, very happy with the booking of this show. And might I also point out, to the credit of DJ or, whoever was able to hold all of this together, many, many years, I didn't do the research to know exactly what the stat is, but many, many Best of the Best have had to have replacement people in the Best of the Best. They would book the show, and then, this guy didn't make it. Oh, this guy didn't make it. He missed his flight. This guy's sick. This guy had a family emergency.
Who's in Sud Guerrero?
You're starting at Best of the Best 1, and that was he still came in the second round somehow when Ruck is subbed for him in the first round, and it made absolutely no sense. But that was one of many, many times that you had guys scheduled for Best of the Best, and you had to replace them last minute. It happened a lot of times over the years, believe me. And, for the amount of talent that they packed into there, everybody was there. So that's big, big credit to that. Next up, you had the six-man. World title on the line, tag titles on the line. And you had the world title change hands when Devin Moore and the Briscoe brothers beat the Ego Robert Anthony and Philly's Most Wanted. Really can't tell you much about the match. My anger had peaked at that point where I didn't have the mental ability to focus on a match. I could comment on the outcome and say that it really surprises me. I'm a big fan of Devin Moore. I really am. He's a great guy, friends with the guy and everything else. I not for one second thought that he was world title material. I think Devin can go. I think Devin can work any type of match in the world. But, to put it in perspective, Devin has tried to, as well as, doing so many other deathmatch things that, a guy like Trent would never do. But he has tried to model himself after Trent, even going as far as calling himself the Prince of Philly, saying that Trent was the king. Well, Trent's a guy that didn't walk around with the world title. So I always had them in that same type of class where, Devin was going to walk the road of Trent Acid. You, in my opinion, would expect to see Devin with a long run with that junior heavyweight title. And another thing you would expect out of, in my opinion, would be Devin winning Tournament of Death. He won King of the Death Match. He's done some substantial death match things. These are the type of things that I expected out of Devin long before any world championship, whatever, would go on. So without any disrespect to Devin, I just did not see him as world champion. They went and did it, so it is what it is. And I'm sure Devin's going to, represent it well. He's going to put on some great matches within, he could do so many different things. He's very, very talented. But I just didn't see this one coming. Really didn't. I thought Robert Anthony was a great champion. Kind of expected and hoped that he would keep it a lot longer. So, what do you think?
Devin with the belt, it's, I have mixed emotions about it,
Yeah.
I really don't know what they're going to do with this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then after the match, they did the whole thing because they had a bunch of refs get knocked out, and Moxley came in with the ref shirt and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, after the match, Moxley ended up getting Stone Cold stunned by Shawnee. Scrawny Shawnee with the Stone Cold Stunner. I guess that was their big send-off for him to go to the WWE now. But, yeah, you know, was what it was. I don't pop for Stone Cold doing that fucking move, so sure as shit ain't going to pop for Shawnee doing it. You know? As much respect as I have for Shawnee and everything he's done for CZW, because this guy busts his ass. I mean, you see him setting up a fucking cage of death, or you see him fucking doing some shit construction-wise, around, he runs around there like a maniac. He busts his ass for that company. So there's no disrespect to Shawnee, but like I said, if I don't pop for fucking Stone Cold doing that goddamn move, if I hate that move, then I sure as hell ain't gonna pop for Shawnee doing it. So yeah, good luck, Mox. I just hope to see you on TV. You know, there's so many other guys: Colt Cabana, Robert Anthony, never made it to TV. You know, they went out there, they got signed. Claudio spit right back out before they hit TV. So, you know, I hope Moxley actually does make it through. Hope he gets his opportunity to actually shine on national TV, because he definitely deserves it. So, yeah, man.
Yeah. He'll do all right, you know, and developmental, you know. Just want to see what they're going to do with him. You know.
Yep. So yeah, then you had the semifinals, and I thought these were phenomenal semifinal matchups. And Adam Cole defeating Zack Sabre Jr. And again, I just gotta reiterate that Zack Sabre Jr. is a tremendous athlete. Honestly, like, if you look at this guy's build, he does not look like a wrestler. He looks way undersized. He doesn't have a whole shit of a muscle tone. There's probably a lot of gear that you could see this guy in that you would just think he's a nerd. You probably think he could fix your computer, but fucking sure as shit can't wrestle. He's lightning fucking fast. He's quick as hell, has a million different holds, has reversals, has high-flying ability, has some hard-hitting kicks and, you know, offense. This guy, for those who might sleep on this guy in the future, don't. Fucking don't, because he can fucking go, and that's an understatement. So I hope to see more of this guy in the United States. There's a laundry list of matches that I would love to see this guy in. So, yeah, that was a great match. You know, Adam Cole went over in the match, and that sent him to the finals. Next match, which was one of my favorite, and that would be Sami Callihan beating Daisuke Sakimoto. And what more can you say? I mean, Sakimoto hit him with everything he had, and that's a lot to take. Sami has proved over these couple years that he's been on his rise in the independents that he can dish out and take anything that these indies have to offer. He's been in the ring with the likes of Low Ki, Homicide, Daisuke Sakimoto. It's just tremendous what he has accomplished in the ring. And
but yeah, like, it just, you know.
Yeah, so
you were saying?
Nina's going to send you a message in a second, just to let you know. however, yeah, man, that was a phenomenal match. For Sami to, you know, come out on top of that. You know, a lot of people had said, you know, fucking Big Japan, they like politics. They'll never let one of our guys get over. Da 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 da. Well, you know, that's not necessarily the truth, because, you know, you see it. You just seen it happen. So that was that. Then you had the much-anticipated Ultraviolent Underground Championship on the line. And I'm not even going to try to attempt to say what the hell this shit was called, but it was a bunch of glass.
A Ragnarok and glass death match.
Yeah, I think the word crush was in there somewhere, too.
Ragnarok and crush deathmatch. Basically, Ragnarok means hell, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, it was panes of glass. For those that don't know, there were panes of glass wrapped in barbed wire. Panes of glass with the word, with the BJW spelled out in thumbtacks on it. There was a pane of glass with the carpet strips laced back and forth all over. And when you seen Jun Kasai go through one of these panes of glass, you just saw a waterfall of blood just pour out of his back. And that was, you know, one of those to just start the match off, more or less. And this match went just so, so unbelievably. It was great. I was, again, big, big fan of Jun Kasai. I was happy to be able to see him again. Hope it's not another 10 years before we do get to see him again in the United States. I was very, very happy about his performance on the weekend. You know, I read the results, and we'll go over that in a minute. But, you know, he busted his fucking ass over here. And a lot of people said that, you know, if we did get a Jun Kasai or a Ryuji Ito, they're just going to phone it in because they're not going as hard as they used to. Well, I'll tell you for starters that Jun Kasai is definitely going 100% still, no hold back. So that led us to – what's that?
No, I said definitely. He fucking tore it up.
Yeah, man. That led us to our finals, which was Adam Cole, the 2011 Best of the Best 10 champion, beating Sammy Callahan.
That's right.
With heel tactics. With heel tactics.
Don't want to hear that.
You know, well, you know, Mia Yim caught it. She definitely got it from Sammy, you know, for her efforts. You know, obviously it was too late, but yeah, it was phenomenal, man. She definitely caught an ass whooping off of Sammy for that. But, you know, you had the whole knock the ref out. Adam Cole tapped. You know, ref didn't see it. Nonsense. And yeah, Sammy lost in the end to his own stretch muffler. And hey, Adam Cole's a tremendous athlete, and you know, he deserved the best of the best. Of course, I wanted to see Sammy win it, but it wasn't Z-Bar won best of the best and Sammy lost. It was another tremendously talented athlete in Adam Cole deservingly winning best of the best. So, yeah, big congratulations to him. And, you know, thank you to all the fucking CZW wrestlers that went out there on Saturday and just busted their fucking ass, because it was a show to remember. It really was. There was so much that those guys put into that ring that day that it's going to go down in history for years to come. So, you know, and like I said, they did the whole afterwards thing, which really was retarded and drug out, but they did the whole, you know, what do the fans think? Of course, you know, the fans just saw Sammy be screwed with heel tactics, so they wanted Sammy to be the fucking People's Choice Award or whatever the fuck, with the little plaque that's, I mean, that little tiny plaque. Like, if you're an 8-year-old in soccer, you get a bigger fucking plaque or trophy. So it's kind of, I don't know. I guess it's somewhat of an honor. I don't even know where you would put that. But okay. I guess under a drink or something on your coffee table. But Sammy, you know, showed, you know, huge sportsmanship when he got handed that, and he handed it to AR Fox. Because AR Fox put on a great first round match. And like Sammy said, best of the best about creating stars. And, he wanted AR Fox to get his shine, so he handed it to AR Fox. So, the great sportsmanship out of Sammy. And, again, everybody in this tournament bust their ass, and I was very, very happy to be able to witness it. So, you know, with that said, I think that's my best of the best review.
And Adam Cole, CZW Junior Heavyweight Champion and best of the best winner. That's right.
Right.
Former guest of Yakuza Kick Radio. So, but, you know.
Of course, where the champions go.
Of course,
like Petco where the pets go. Well, Yakuza Kid
well,
Radio is where
hey,
the champions
only,
go.
The only one that hasn't been a fucking champion is Rodney Rush. But let's throw that out there.
Oh, that's a cheap shot. But do we got a call coming in or?
Nah, I don't see any phone calls. Just you know.
Okay. Because I received a note that we
yeah
someone
and there was a mistake made and the Skype number was given. So we took care of that. So.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a possibility that the other number may be called.
Yes,
we
other number was given out, so.
Okay.
I'll probably get a bunch of calls in a minute on my cell phone saying, why is your computer going off? But that's probably because, I'm not home. I'm doing the show somewhere else.
So, yeah, if you, you guys send that number over to said caller, then maybe he'll call us on the number that works. And, off of that, after the show, I did my hanging out, having a good time off of my own beer. Thanks, Roger. had the opportunity to hang out, and I put my little flip cam to its pretty much debut. In the CZW parking lot, because I'm not the type of guy that would fucking bring that shit in the building and do something with it there. That's not my style at all. That's classless, and that's definitely not for me. For a company that I supported for 10 years, you could definitely expect to never, ever see my flip cam come out inside the fucking CZW arena, or any wrestling show for that matter. However, my flip cam was put to good use, and that was the entertainment of the phenomenal Rich Swann in the CZW parking lot. And Rich gave us his Sammy Callahan impression and then enlightened us on his real relation to Sammy Callahan and what people may not have known. And this is actually in two parts, but Eric's going to kind of play them back to back. So hopefully you guys can all enjoy. The visual is better than the audio is. So if you guys want to look it up on YouTube, that's on my YouTube channel. And I'm going to actually start posting videos. People can call me Reggie and shit.
We're not going to do that. No.
Yeah, we're not going that far. I haven't lost intelligence, just gained a camera. And guys, check it out. And we'll be back in a minute.
What the fuck is wrong?
Best of the best. Adam Cole. CZW wrestlers, fans, and management. Do I have your attention now? Do I have your attention now? I'm not the biggest dog in the fight, but damn right I'm the scariest. I decimated three other men tonight, and next time I'm going to aim the bar just a little bit higher. Next time I'm coming for the CZW. For the CZW. World Heavyweight Damn right, that's scary, because I'm Sam Callahan, and give me my respect. Bah! I've been born. Me and Sammy, we held this from everybody. Yes, we are brothers. Now you know. I come from the last house on the right of New Jersey.
Across the street.
And me and Sammy are gonna take the rest of this world by storm. I don't care if it's TNA, I don't care if it's the World Wrestling Entertainment. Oh, I'm sorry, they don't wanna be referred to that. WWE, CZW, or Dragon Gate. I swear to you that by the end of the world, December of 2012, the last image you will see in your head before everything goes back, you will see Sammy and Ricky on top 20.
So that is the highly, highly entertaining and wildly underbooked Rich Swann. And I will be doing much more video with Rich Swann on the very next show in via parking lot. He is just on fucking unending entertainment. Every time you see him, he's up to something. About 5 minutes before I did that video with him, and I didn't have my flip cam out, he was running around doing his Vader impression, which was at least as good as that, if not better. So maybe I'll try to pull that out of him. He actually might have done something of that nature for Ego's internet show. So check out Fridays with Ego, and if he doesn't pull it out on there, then I'll be sure to have him bring it to you guys via JCat's YouTube and you know, my new little camera. So
we got a caller on the air.
All right, why don't you bring the caller on? I believe this is Joe Bailey.
Hey guys, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, Joe?
I'm hearing two weird shits.
Huh?
No, I just want to talk about Ian Rotten.
Oh, all right.
Is Billy still on there?
No. Billy's not on tonight.
Okay. I just want to say, Ian ruined himself. I mean,
of course he did.
Oh, yeah. I mean, do you guys know anybody else who runs? He is Independent Wrestling Association Mid-South. Who else runs in the Mid-South?
Not many.
No one. He runned, I know there's a couple guys here, I live in Madison, Indiana, and that right up next to Louisville.
Yeah.
No one can run shows in Indiana, because he runned everything. I mean, I have good things to say. He brought JC up. But I was just, earlier, the reason I called in is I was watching the YouTube video of you guys with Ian. He was talking about how JC was an addict, and he didn't know JC was an addict. He met JC when he was 13.
Yeah.
I can't say Ian turned JC into an addict, but he didn't not know. And
yeah,
this
I hear
makes
you, man.
Me, well, no. It's not that I'm taking it just for my mother. I mean, anyone in independent wrestling realizes you take that many bumps, somebody's got to see the doctor. I mean,
yeah.
Who's there not to see the doctor? I mean, I'm bigger. If anybody's seen JC, you know Big Joe. Just, hence JC Joseph Carl.
Right.
Dad is Joe Carl Sr. I'm Joseph Layton Lee. JC is Joe Carl Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've seen Big Joe, his big ass moves slow as shit. I called him earlier, and he was wanting to call in, but he forgot the number.
Yeah.
But I don't see why everybody's taking up Ian's side. Ian has run, I mean, like the National Guard's in Indiana. No one can run a good show in Indiana because of Ian. Why? Because he took it too far. They asked him to stop. He showed way too much blood. He tore up way too much vending machines. Just different shit.
I hear you.
Does anybody know where Ox Harley went?
What's that?
Ox Harley? Has anybody heard from him in forever?
Nope.
Do you know who I'm talking about, JK?
I've heard him only on Ian's shows. I haven't
Same
really
here.
Heard from him outside of just seeing his name on Ian's shows.
He was Pondo's best friend.
Okay.
No, I mean, Ox Harley and Pondo. I mean, that boy ran harder shows than anyone. Ian didn't do shit besides sit in the background and not do anything. I mean,
right.
He ran everything. Pondo, Bull Payne did, oh my God, so much shit to make that man money. And then he wants to run around talking shit about everybody, trying to ruin everybody's name.
Well,
I mean, why?
Well,
all these young guys, even hell, boy, young, but all these guys made this man money. And he's still down there. IWA Mid-South is shut down, but he's still down here making, because I live in Madison, which is, I would say, about 35, 40 miles south or northeast of Charlestown. He's still down there running wrestling, getting everybody licenses. Yeah, fair
right.
State of Indiana, you don't have to have a license. He's still down there running the slap factories.
Yeah, but Joe, you got to remember something. The one thing you got to remember is the fact that nobody has anything bad to say about your brother. Your brother was a phenomenal athlete. There is nobody that holds your brother's name low as they do Ian Ryan. And you got to know that, you know, we've done our best to put your brother on the highest pedestal that he belongs on. And Ian has dug himself so far into the ground and continues to do so that there's no comparison.
He's done it. I mean, I remember being 12. I'm 18 months older than JC. I remember being 12 and 13. Going down to Winn-Dixie's on Dixie Highway in Louisville to watch IWA shows. Dad bought us shows, bought us gimmicks. I mean, we were watching fucking no-name dudes just beat the dog shit out of each other just because Ian wanted to make a dollar. I mean, Ian, I do give him that. Ian fucking brought up, we're talking all fans bring the weapons match.
Right.
Fucking 10 gallons of thumbtacks match. I mean, that was the first bit of blood I've ever seen in my entire life. That was good.
Yeah.
I'm used to USWA, dum 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 dum, Saturday morning, Jerry Lawler, Bill Dundee, Tracy Smothers, the Smothers Brothers, all them guys. And then here I am fucking brought into this, let's beat the dog, shave each other with weapons. And I, you know what I'm saying, I knew what a gimmick was, but Eden Rotten brought that to life. Dad brought us down there. And then Dad saw the light, and he saw the money. And then once he knew Ian about 15 minutes, he started getting fucked out of the money.
Yeah.
And then I've seen Ian, like, Ian's had Bull beat so many dudes that Bull didn't even know what he was doing. We're talking Dad had prison guard handcuffs. Beat these boys. Clip them to the fucking ring. And then Dad had knocked Bull off the ring, go up there and clip him because nobody else had keys. And these boys were being beat for no reason. Not saying it was Ian's or Bull's fault. It was Ian. I just don't get the fucking.
Yeah, I hear you, man.
I'm here on a smear factor. I just wish anybody listening would Facebook me, Ian Rotten. I'm on there as Joe Bailey. Joe Bailey, not Big Joe. I'm the guy with the backwards hat, card shirt on. Joe Bailey, give me Ian Rotten's fucking info.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if we hear anything, we'll send it your way for sure, Joe. I mean, you got to keep your head up.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm drunk, but I would like to give it out to you guys. You guys are bringing up JC. Anything to remember him? Marking him out, all the videos, anything, remembering him, dogging in, Billy Graham, Cold Fiction, the shit, because I've seen all kinds of things on there, bringing
him
up.
Man. Yeah,
you
I mean, if you
awesome.
Get a chance, listen to the tribute we did for your brother. We did it shortly after he passed, and we had
send
a lot of people on. And
anything on my YouTube or my Facebook. I have no idea. I'm computer illiterate. But
will do, brother.
There.
I will do. So,
same
you know,
thing,
take care,
same
man.
Same thing, JB in Madtown, at live.com. Send whatever you want. But anybody knows where Ian's at, send that shit to me.
I'll do what I can for you, brother.
Bull and Pondo won't tell me where he's at. Thank you, brother.
Joe, you know, thanks for calling in, and I will send you, you know, that tribute we did for your brother, and you know, I hope you enjoy. You know, keep your spirits high, man.
Send to me real quick, because I'm going to have to get off my phone.
Yeah, well, I got to finish doing this radio show, and then I'll send that to you after we're done.
All right, thank you, brother.
On the Facebook. All right, brother, we'll be talking to you.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, peace, man.
All right.
Yep. All right, so that was, very passionate JC's brother. And obviously he's a little, you know, tipsy tonight, but either way, you know, the man has gone through a lot of things, and he has a deep-seated hatred for the Ian Rotten.
And you know what? And you know what, though? What he said tonight, you know, it proves once again that, you know, Joe, I mean, this is going to sound stupid, but you could tell, you know, he's still not over. I mean, he will never be over the fact.
Get over losing your brother?
I know, but I'm just saying, like, he's losing your baby brother. You know, I just think that he's, the bigger brother, you know, and I mean, you know, Joe, you know, he's doing the right thing by, you know, going after Ian, because, I don't know.
Right. So anyway, we got to get back on a high note, because they keep bringing me down no matter what I do. You know, I understand every bit of Joe's, frustrations and everything that he's gone through. And it's not easy, man. It's really, really not easy, because I can't imagine going through what the Bailey family has endured in this past year. And, you know, I'm going to leave that at that. That's really all I could say about that. But let's get into some other stuff, bring this show back. What time is it, Eric?
10:17.
Okay, just because I know, because I'm staring at a fire. I have no watch. I have no clocks out here. So, all right.
You could look at you could look at the moon, you know.
That ain't going to get me shit. You know what I mean?
Well, if you look at
Billy
the moon,
Graham,
if you look at the moon long
the
enough,
moon.
You'll fall asleep, so then that will be the end of the show.
Billy Graham might know how to read the moon and tell you what time it is, but I'm
You want to bring him on? You want to bring him on and talk about that, or no?
Well, that's for another time. we got some other stuff to talk about. One of which I just wanted to, say I didn't watch a whole lot of Raw. I watched some of it. I guess I'll, speak on that real quick and just say that Sin Cara is phenomenal.
Definitely.
You know, that is my new reason for watching fucking wrestling on TV on Mondays, because that guy is fucking awesome. I really like watching him. And hey, man, he even gave Primo a fucking boost back up into the fucking main stage, because he was doing.
How long do you think that's gonna last, though?
Who knows? It is definitely Primo's time to shine, though, in order to get himself back on TV, because he was tearing it up with Sin Cara and working a great second man to Sin Cara's big talents, because they were working a lot of dark matches and a lot of house shows and a lot of those type of things, and they were getting rave reviews from people who were attending these shows. Not only that Sin Cara was awesome, but that the matches were just great. So WWE, with no real understanding or direction on what to do with them when they did bring him up, decided, hey, that's working fine. Let's just bring Primo up. Let him work a match on TV. And again, I thought it was a great match. Put on, very, very good standing. The ring entrance is pretty cool. It's very obvious that he's using a trampoline, because, no human being is going to leap from the floor over the top rope. So it's, but I think it's a cool effect. I like the way it comes off. right now. I hope he doesn't ever, like, twist his fucking ankle doing the entrance, because that would be, like, a real kick in the fucking teeth for all the talent that he is, you know, if that's, like, the thing that ends up torquing a knee or a fucking ankle on a trampoline. That would really, really fucking suck to lose that guy for 6 months or, you know, whatever the case may be, but he's a tremendous athlete, so I'm sure he could take a bounce off a trampoline once a night. Yeah, man, you know, he put on that shit. The other thing that stood out about that show to me was Apple. I like apples.
I'll be right back, all right?
All right. Eric's going to be back. Yeah. The Apple stable. That is Santino, Daniel Bryan, Evan Bourne, and Mark Henry. That's a pretty substantial stable to me, and I really hope it stays around long enough that it, you know, it collects some momentum and maybe gets, you know, actually gets a push where it's like a stable where it's going to work. I have a bad, bad feeling that that's not going to happen. And not only will it be short-lived, but I hate to say it, but just unless Daniel Bryan gets some kind of reaction, WWE is not going to keep him on TV. And maybe Santino can rub off some comedy on him. Maybe they could do something to twist or torque the gimmick. But I really want to see all those guys in their shine. Obviously, Mark Henry has got his due, and he's got his shine over the years. However, you know, one big final run of Mark Henry being the muscle of a crew would not be a bad thing. Santino being the big front man, spokesman, comedy guy, not a bad thing. And the super athletes in the middle of Evan Bourne, or, you know, Daniel Bryan. I think that could really, really work out. It's really only a matter of whether the WWE wants to push that group or whether they just want to look at it as, well, here's a space filler. I don't like the fact that they lost their first match debuting as that group. I think that kind of shows me what WWE has in store for them, which is absolutely nothing, unfortunately. So. And then what else happened on Raw? Oh, yeah. Nothing. Well, I guess I could mention that Edge retired.
On this day, I see clearly.
Are you done?
Anyway. No, I was saying the first couple lines.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you were going to, you know, rock out the whole thing or what you wanted to do with that. Well, you know, it's up to you. But,
no,
just
kidding.
All right. Edge is a guy I never liked. Not a single day in my life did I want to see Edge on my TV. I can't say that I'm sad. I can't say that I'm fucking grateful for what he's done for me. I think he's been overrated his entire career. They should have called him the overrated R superstar. And him and his running hug can retire straight into hell.
Oh, here we go.
Because I can give a fuck about the Edge. And I'm not an Edge head. And I don't give a fuck whatsoever about his, you know, what did they call that shit when they stopped and took pictures?
A Polaroid, five-second pose.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck about the five-second pose. Not for 5 seconds did I give a fuck about Edge's career. And good riddance. Good fucking riddance. Drop the fucking belt. Maybe someone who fucking will be worth something will get it. But instead, of course, Christian is up for the fucking the title thing. And Christian is actually like a good supporting player, but he's just like so fucking vanilla and really has nothing for me to get behind or against. Like, he's just never came off as anything to me. He's just like another guy. It's like, yeah, he doesn't fuck up a match, but he doesn't really do anything for anything. Like, he was TNA World Champion. Everyone was like, all right, then. You know? All right. I don't know. I've never been an Edge or Christian fan. And if I had to pick one of the two, it would be Christian.
So that's that. Well, Sunday they did another doubleheader, and I didn't attend that because, I mean, doubleheaders are really hard on me because, you know, I got to get a babysitter for the whole day and have to take the day off of work. Now I'm off on Sunday, so I wouldn't have had to take that day off of work, but there's no way of getting two straight days of babysitter and spending the money of two shows and, you know, it's just too much. So I wasn't able to go there, and, you know, Rich Swann told me that I was going to make him cry for not attending the show, but I'm sorry, Rick. You know, I just couldn't make it, you know, and I told you so. It's not a big surprise. However, they ran two shows. CZW was the actual afternoon show this time, and the results were as follows. Sami Callihan beat Kyle O'Reilly. I can't tell you how these matches were because I wasn't there, but I will be sure to pick them up on DVD when they are released. And I encourage you, before I say anything else, but I encourage everybody who didn't see the Best of the Best and the WXW shows live or live on IPPV, I encourage every one of you to go out there and buy the DVDs of both of those shows because they did not disappoint. So by all means, you go out there and you support this company that just put on a fucking unbelievable show. Anyway, so then we had Drew Gulak retaining the CZW Wired title against Zack Sabre Jr. I got to pause and go back. One thing I forgot is when we were in Foreman Mills, and I wish I would have pulled that fucking flip cam out because I actually had it in my pocket at the time, and I just didn't. I was kind of like not paying attention, and then by the time I was paying attention, it was kind of too late. But we're standing there, and I'm waiting for the girl to finish, you know, paying for her stuff. So everybody's in line and everything. Gulak walks in. And he's got security with him or something. Like some security guard or, you know, one of the CZW security guys. The guy with him is buying something from Foreman Mills. So now they're in line. The whole time, as they walk in the door to in line, he's got the Wired title slung over his shoulder. So he's walking into Foreman Mills with a title belt on his shoulder. Standing in line with the title belt on his shoulder. Guy just randomly turns around and goes, "So what are you, a wrestler or something?" Well, first, I said, "What are you, you know, you over here buying a belt holder?" And he's like, "Yeah, I already have a belt holder. It's called a person." And while I'm asking him that, while he's answering that, the guy in front goes, "What are you, some kind of wrestler or something?" And he goes, Yeah, I'm a wrestler. And like straight ass face. Like his face went completely just deadpan, fucking serious as hell. He turned, "Yeah, I'm a wrestler. I'm the Wired champion." And the guy goes, "Well, where do you wrestle?" He, without pause, Drew goes, "Next door. There's a tournament tonight. Big tournament. You need to go check it out." The seriousness of this guy telling a random fucking out in public dude what's going on, just phenomenally funny. I'm gonna get much more liberal with my or much more, you know, open and free with my fucking flip phone or flip cam. I mean. And you guys will enjoy what the fuck I'm seeing, because some people is funny as fuck out there. Anyway, the Drew Gulak thing just reminded me of that. Then you had Philly's Most Wanted beating Bandito Jr. and Azrael. You had Adam Cole beating the most entertaining man in CZW, Rich Swann. You had AR Fox beating Ty Hagen, Ryan Slater, Jonathan Gresham, and Alex Colon. You had John Moxley in his last CZW match defeating Jake Crist. Then you had Devin Moore retaining that world title against Robert Anthony. That's something I didn't expect to happen again. So, followed by Daisuke Sakimoto defeating DJ Hyde.
What a fucking snooze fest that is.
Why? Well, no, I can't say why was that match booked, because it's obvious. When you own a company, you can do what you want. But I guarantee you no one wanted to see that. So, it's okay.
That shit was probably like a coffee break or a soda break or a fucking bathroom break match.
Well, no,
for
I
DJ.
Mean, it's Sakimoto. You really
time,
can't...
No. Every time DJ got a move on, oh, bathroom break. Like, they were probably showing that shit outside type deal.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know, man.
By the way, Juan is requesting the Make You Humble song, just so you know.
Fuck Juan. and then the main event
make you
was...
humble, break your back.
Then in the main event, you had the dream death match of Jun Kasai versus the Necro Butcher. And Jun Kasai won that match, and I'm sure it was very, very good. So that was that. The night show that WXW put on looked like another phenomenal matchups. I mean, you had Marty Scurll beating Kyle O'Reilly. You had this Carsten Beck guy beating Chris Dickinson, which I don't really agree with. You had Big Van Walter and Drake Younger beating Bad Bones and the Necro Butcher. Kind of weird team-ups there, okay, but that's what that was. Then you had a hardcore match that I cannot wait to fucking see in Sami Callihan beating Jun Kasai.
Jun Kasai is a fucking animal.
Sure, a crazy monkey at that.
He's a fucking beast.
Yeah, a crazy monkey.
He's a fucking crazy monkey.
Yes, he is. Then you had Adam Cole beating Emil Satoshi. You had Chris Hero in what I'm sure was a very, very technical match, beating Zack Sabre Jr. And in the main event, you had Daisuke Sakimoto and Johnny Moss teaming up to defeat the Briscoe brothers. So, everything on the table. Sunday looked great. Saturday was great. You guys need to go out there and support these companies that are busting their ass to give you the highest form of entertainment. And I don't think that they let anybody down this weekend. I can say that much. Eric, you had a little... run in with a man we had mentioned.
Before we do that,
okay.
Do you want to play the Iron Sheik song just for fucking Juan real quick, and then I'll tell the story?
Okay. Okay, because Juan is, Juan is fiending for the Iron Sheik over there, so I figure we like to please.
Alright, so we'll play the Iron Sheik. I think this is one that we'll play.
To make you humble, let's do it. Make you humble. Make you humble. Make you humble. And the fuck is that? Rambler. I never respect the fact. Rambler. I never respect the game. I never respect the gay. I never respect the fact. Rambler. Oh, for Christmas. You was lucky, punk. I didn't break your back to fuck your ass. Make you humble. Make you humble. Make you humble. And the fuck is that? Break his back. Make him humble. And the fuck is that? Rambler, worse than Michael Jordan. Make you humble. Fred Blair, worse than Michael Jackson. You are worse than Hulk Hogan. Fred Blair, you are another faggot son of a bitch. No good, low life. Make you humble. I want to let you know you are punk,
yeah, little punk.
You are fag, you are punk, little gay.
That's your brony.
Worse than Michael Jordan, Michael Jackson.
Make him humble.
That was a great feeling, John Maloney. Try wrestling with that jabroni. Make him humble. Rambler, you was lucky, punk. I'm a shooter. And you lucky I didn't break your back. Make you humble. Rambler, Rambler, and you were so lucky to the Hacksaw Confederation. A professional, otherwise was ready to do a team, all country way, make him humble,
make him humble,
suplex him, put him in the camel
crack,
break his back, and then fuck his ass, make him humble, to even fuck our shit. And I didn't do it because for the God and Jesus and Mr. McMahon. They do it because for the God and Jesus and Mr. McMahon. Make you humble.
That's
your brony, Brian Blair. I can break his fucking back. Make you humble. Brian Blair, I can break his fucking back. And then fuck his ass. And then fuck his ass. Make you humble.
Make you humble.
Great feeling all time I had all my life
to make you humble.
And that was a great feeling.
Make you
make
humble.
You humble. And you're lucky I didn't break your back and had to come save you. You are punk, that jabroni. You are fat, you are punk, little gay. Before I break your back and I do all country way. To make you humble. Make you humble. Make you humble.
That's your brony.
Break his back. Make him humble. And then fuck his ass. And then fuck his ass. And besides that, everything was great.
You're welcome, Juan. Bringing you once again the Iron Sheik. So,
it seems like the Iron Sheik joins us every week.
Yeah, it's crazy. We keep getting
you know
the request.
You know what? Maybe he has a thing for the Iron Sheik. Who knows?
He may. He very well may. But what can I say?
Hey,
I'm
real
a big
quick
fan.
Though, real quick. I know people from over there at the Mass Maniac show. Maniac hasn't been calling in a while. I wonder why.
I know. Maybe we'll hear from him
next week.
Maybe a couple weeks. It's going to have to be a couple weeks because next week is going to be the big, big tribute for Larry Sweeney. So we don't have time to take calls from any jokers like the Mass Maniac. We have serious business to go down next week. And after that, hey, we'll open those lines up. And If this big musclehead retard wants to call in, then, hey, all good. Anyway, we have a few other, small things to get into. What?
I got my story.
Oh, that's what I was hoping to hear. I after these shows, Eric had a little bit of a run-in with Big Van Walter.
Yeah, and a couple other people. So, so basically, as soon as the show is over, after the whole promo thing and DJ went on that spiel, I didn't stick around. I mean, I stuck around as soon as he gave it, the AR Fox deal, and we were like, all right. So I was with five other people, and we decided, we have an hour and a half drive home, and I had to be at work at 6 o'clock in the morning on Sunday anyway. So. We figured, we were hungry, and we're not going to put money into Roger's pocket. So we basically did
good
not...
move.
Are you there?
Yeah, it's a good move.
Okay. Yeah, so we're not going to do that. So we decided we're going to go to the McDonald's over by Nichols, over by the Nichols Tavern, if you know where I'm talking about.
Right, right.
So we head over there, and, you know, we know we've been there before, and we know that after, like, 11, the dining room's closed, so you got to do it through drive-thru. Fine, so we have two different cars. We have, you know, the three of us in one car and two of the other guys in the other car. So, you know, we go through first, and they only have the late-night meal open, so they don't have everything. So, you know, we order, and, you know, we park our car. We were just chilling out. And the other people, you know, that were with us, they, you know, they order. And they, you know, pull in right next to us. And so that, and we get out of the car. We, you know, we're talking about the show and what we thought of the show and, you know, what we liked, what we didn't like, and, you know, just, you know, talking, you know, about the show and random crap. And out of the corner of, you know, our eyes, we see, you know, we see a big guy, and we're just like, all right, you know, who's this guy? And he's with the WXW, you know, the ring announcer.
Right.
Who is stumbling out of his, you know, stumbling, you know, and having laughing his ass off while he's walking. And Big Van Walter is walking like he is a 9-foot giant. Like he's pretending, like he's fooling around big time. So they're walking,
yeah.
And, the one guy that we're with in the other car, he's like, oh, nice match, man. And he's like, oh, thank you very much. And this, you know, the announcer's like, oh, how did I do? And we're like, all right, we did it, whatever. So they're not getting the sign that says dining room's closed on the door. So they're trying to open the door, right? And we're like, nah, the dining room's closed. It's after 10, and Big Ben
yeah.
Walter yells out a big, what the fuck is this shit? This is stupid. He gets really pissed. And the one driver of the other, we're just walking around and, you know, we're just, you know, talking some more. And then he's like, dude, would they have a problem with me walking through the drive-thru? And the lady that was at the drive-thru window said, no, you can't do that. And he's like, why the fuck not? And he gets all mad and she's like, well, that's not how it goes. And we're laughing our asses off, you know, we're staring.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
we
yeah.
look at him. And the one guy that was driving the other car, he's like, if you guys really want food, jump in my car and, you know, I'll take you guys through the drive-thru and stuff like that. Being a nice guy. So, and he has a Jeep, a Cherokee.
Right.
So Big Van Walter's a big man. So he's like, try and get this freaking, you know, Cherokee and, you know, getting in and freaking the announcers in the back. And they drive through. And, you know, they go through, and we kind of walked over to where they were. And you pretty much heard them saying, I want a nutritious meal. They were talking really loud. And they're like, we want a nutritious meal. So we're like, we're up next to the freaking van at this point. You know, we're just, you know, having a good time. You know, I mean, it's freaking late as hell, so we're just fooling around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Having a good time. So Big Van Walter, you know, the announcer orders his, you know, meal, no problem. And Big Van Walter is basically taking about 5 minutes to pick his order. And he's like, well, I'm very nutritious. So he goes, I'm nutritious. And then the announcer's like, well, come on, we got to go. You know, we got to get this food. He's like, okay, I'm going to eat nutritious. I'm going to order 10-piece chicken McNuggets and a large shake. And you hear, ha, 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 nutritious. And he goes, well, that's nutritious in my land. And we're like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Like, what the fuck is he smoking? You know what I mean? So he looks at the, you know, he orders his food and, you know, he drives up. And he starts yelling, this is fucking taking forever. I hate this about America. It's slow. And then he fucking yells, like the lady's like getting, you know, saying, hold on 1 second. He goes, give me my food, you bitch. And this lady's like, oh my God, like she's fucking pissed. And then the driver's like, nah, don't worry about him. You know what I mean? He's not, you know. So they get their food and they're walking out and he's, you know, he's like, in Germany, you know, you help out people like, you know, you help us out. Here's a $2 tip, all in quarters. And, you know, he gives the money, right? He's going to get out of the car. He drops all his chicken McNuggets on the floor. He drops his...
On the South Philly street.
Right, on the South Philly street.
Yes.
And he drops the... he drops his shake on the floor. Doesn't spill all over the place. And he proceeds to pick it up with the announcer. And the announcer goes, well, you going to eat this? And Big Ben Walter goes, you bet I'm going to eat it. And he starts eating it off the floor, the nuggets off the floor. And we are having a fucking laughter. So they're starting to walk by. And here's the thing. A car comes by, pulls them up, and picks them up from the McDonald's. So he, you know,
wow.
Long story short, hey, you know, what the hell? And apparently during when he was, you know, the drive-thru, he was saying how in Germany they don't have much for groceries. In America, they can have peanut butter ice cream. So he was a big fan of that.
Yeah, that's quite an experience you had there.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
Only when German, yeah. It seemed like only when, you know, when the crazy, you know, when it gets late, all the crazy things happen, so...
I don't know if the streets in Germany are as filthy as the South Philly streets, but he's eating chicken nuggets off the South Philly streets, apparently.
I hope
his stomach held up. So I guess we'll play that Randall video. The battle.
Randall, is he going to... The guy that you're trying to get to become an announcer for the WWE, right?
Of course. That's my ploy. I'm doing my best.
Right.
I have no pulse, so what can I do? We'll play that. We'll come back, get into a few things, wrap the show up, and we'll do that.
Okay.
This is East Africa, home to so many beautiful animals and fascinating cultures. This is the Great Rift Valley. It's a crazy land. And here, at Lake Bogoria, flamingos and baboons cohabitate the land, although sometimes, as you'll soon see, they're not always the best of friends. Look at all these flamingos. Look at this baboon. Oh my Christ, you see those teeth? Now, you have to understand, flamingos are absolutely fantastic. Watch these flamingos fly in slow motion. You're looking at the ultimate flamingo party. Nearly 4 million flamingos. All just socializing and hanging out after a successful mating season in July. Look at all those pretty flamingos. But they're taking over the land. They're everywhere. Look, they're stepping on one another. Look at all them bathe. The baboons are confused as shit. What's happening here, they're saying. Look at this baboon. He's just trying to eat his banana in peace. Or maybe it's a papaya. And these damn flamingos are everywhere. There are 6 different species of flamingos. And ancient Egyptians believed flamingos were like living representations of the god Ra. Americans believe they look fabulous on our front yards. Flamingos everywhere. Jesus, these poor baboons can't take a step without bumping into a stupid flamingo. What you're about to see has never been captured on film before. It's the baboon thinking about snacking on a flamingo. Baboons have canine-like teeth to go along with their doggy muzzles. Look, since they eat meat, the baboon is only doing the right thing. It's trying to get a snack.
Eric?
Yeah, you there?
Yeah, man. So, yeah. That's what that is. Well, what time is it?
10:50.
Okay, so yeah, it is about time to wrap up the show. I want to give a quick plug to our friends over at Wrestling Soup, Joey Numbers and Anthony Missionary Thomas. That is wrestling-news.com. Check them out over there. You know, definitely check out our archives on Blog Talk. If you guys are listening to this now, you already know where we're at. Go check out our archives. You know, bring our numbers up some. Leave us some feedback. You know, everybody needs to check us out next week by all means, if any of you have enjoyed the career of Lowry Sweeney, you need to, you know, show up next week and listen to everybody, you know, pay tribute to this man. You know, he passed away at a very young age, and you know, we're going to do our best to tribute. We have a lot of people locked in the call already, and we're going to have a lot more people over this next week. And it should be a very, very good show. So you want to add anything to that, Eric?
Nah, man.
So, all right, man. Like I said, everybody check us out next week. It's going to be a tremendous tribute. We're going to do our very, very best. And everybody check us out. For Eric Williams, I'm Jake Cat Morris. Check us out next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. www.blogtalkradio/YKR online. We'll see you then. Peace.
Give me a call, Ben.
Yeah.